1982, a Mexican adventure. Note, these events occurred over 35 years ago. Since then, both the global economy and the Mexican government have modernized a great deal. Our consulting business, McMullen, was in its third full year when we had our first opportunity to take it international. At the close of a Big Apple user group meeting one evening in New York City, we were approached by two economists, one from Cornell University, the other from the New School for Social Research, who explained that they were performing an econometric study for the Mexican government and would need some computer expertise as well as hardware and software. Would we be interested? We said we would and began our descent down the rabbit hole. Some background. Prior to the launching of the firm, I had had an executive position with the subsidiary of Control Data and Morgan Stanley, then traveled throughout the United States on business. Then Barbara McMullen, prior to our marriage and consulting firm, had traveled throughout the world, Europe, Africa, and the South Pacific. Additionally, in the short time we had done in business, we have done business throughout the United States. But we had never done business in a foreign country, and as we would soon see, there is a big difference. The economists were consulting with the Mexican government's Department of Finance in an attempt to generate investment dollars for the northern provinces of Mexico. As part of this effort, they wanted to enter demographic and in business data into a computer system and be able to massage it in various ways. Our role would be to define the requirements, configure the necessary hardware and software, obtain it, install it in the Department of Finance's office in Mexico City, train clerical staff in the use of the system, and provide general consulting. The same activities that we have been providing for U.S. clients. We agreed to the business arrangement under which our client would be the Department of Finance, but should pay for traveling expenses directly to hotels and airlines and pay on normal our consulting rates. They would purchase the equipment and software directly from our primary vendor, Jonathan's Apple, in Malta, New Jersey, which would ship directly to Mexico City, and we would spend a week training upon its arrival. The scenario went off initially as planned. Funds arrived at Jonathan's Apple, the configuration shipped, two Apple II Pluses with disk drives, monitors, printers, VisiCalc, the first electronic spreadsheet, a database product, and a word processor. Our airline and hotel reservations were made, and we're off to Mexico City. Things went well when we landed, although I was a little taken aback when I noted that the police, instead of sidearms, carried machine guns on their shoulders. But I hadn't thought that banditos were active in downtown Mexico City. And the hotel was charming, small rooms, but a very large patio area where breakfast was served. The hotel was destroyed by earthquake 6 months later. Reality began to set in the next morning when we headed to the office. We left the hotel at about 6:30. The staff started work at 8:30, then we had to ensure the computers were properly set up. As we approached the office, I noted that not only did the patrolmen carry machine guns, an officer sat on the roof of the presidential palace directly across from our office, manning a tripod and mounted machine gun. Once in the office, we found that the computers and software were still in the boxes, so we began assembling them and loading software. We got our first understanding of the Mexican politics when it was explained later in the morning that although the boxes had arrived the week before, they had been held in customs for the intervening period. At that time, there was only one leading, perhaps the only one, political party in Mexico, and the president served for 1 6-year term. And the year before his term ended, there was constant jockeying between the various interested groups to agree on a successor. And the interested groups included government departments and agencies, often backing different candidates. It was the luck of this project, the Department of Finance, our client, was backing a different candidate than the Customs Department. And the political disagreement played over into some nastiness when conducting normal business. Customs have tried to extract Judy on the computers until finance was able to pull some strings and to get them released. We set the computers up, loaded the software, and were ready when the personnel arrived for training. Although the training went very well, the workday schedule took some getting used to. The employees worked from 8:30 to 11:30, then took a lunch break until 2:30. Yes, 2:30. And then worked until 7:30 at night. We would therefore have to be there about 7:30 a.m. to set up for the training, and be there in the evening until 8:30 or 9 p.m. closing things down and winding down. We would then go to the restaurant and have a leisurely dinner, more leisurely than we would have liked, and then get back to the hotel about 11 p.m. and start all over in the a.m. To be in at 7:30, we had to be in the hotel dining room by about 6:30. Breakfast was also served on a leisurely basis. And then we had the 10-block walk to the office. It turned out that one of the disk drives was damaged in shipping, so we called Jonathan's Apple and agreed to another one shipped down, and we carried the broke one home in our luggage. During our week, Mexico City, we followed everyone's instructions not to drink the water. That included having no fruit, no soda bottled in Mexico, and only hot coffee or tea after the water was boiled. All these precautions did little for Barbara because she came very ill the moment we took our seatbelts off on the airplane home, a condition that lasted for 3 weeks. And until January of this year, we thought that she simply had a bad case of Montezuma revenge. Blood tests done for other reasons in January revealed that she most probably had contracted hepatitis B. Once back in the office, we thought that most of the craziness was behind us. Actually, it was just getting started. Customs was now prepared for shipments to the Department of Finance. So when the placement disc arrived, they put a 25% duty on the drive, over $100 on the drive that listed for $525. Worse, it would accept only payment in cash, this from another government agency. To compound the problem, the funding for the project had not yet come through, and finance had no cash and could not get the drive. The latest statement rang true to me as the consulting bills had not yet been paid, and when I called to inquire, I was told that the funding was just around the corner. Soon there's another problem. There were intermittent problems with the wide carriage IDS paper Tiger printer that made it unusual. I called the company in Natick, New Hampshire, and from my description of the problem, it was determined that the computer had a faulty motherboard. So they arranged for us to send another one down. They sent it to us, and we turned it over to a young fellow, Carl, who was a recent computer science graduate. He was about to go down to Mexico City to do some additional training. We gave him the motherboard and sent him on his way. 2 days after Carl's departure, we received a call from him to Mexico City. His luggage had been searched at the airport, and upon finding this strange-looking circuit board, the authorities had hustled Carl and the luggage off to a room, strip-searched him, and left him sitting in his underwear for 5 hours, while they determined what violation of espionage under which he might be tried. Finally, an attorney from the Department of Finance showed up to collect Carl, get him dressed, and take him and his luggage to the office. Carl did such a good job of getting the printer up and running from the office, decided they needed another printer of the same type. The plan was originally to have one computer system equipped with a wide carriage printer and the other one with an inexpensive narrow thermal printer. The thermal printer had recently been giving them trouble when I had them ship it to be prepared. They now decided that they should have the same printer capabilities on both systems. haircut really strange. Finance had been having a very bad time with customs about the disk drive. They finally resolved it by finding a custom broker who would pay to get the drive out of customs, for which service the broker would be paid another 25% of the value of the drive. So prices kept going up and up and up. So finance instructed me to ship the new prints not to Mexico City, but to the address in Laredo, Texas, from which the recipient would smuggle the print across the border and deliver it to the Department of Finance, the government agency. To repeat, he was a government agency instructing me to put the wheels in motion to have materials smuggled across its own border. I obtained the printer, held it until I received payment. It seemed only the consulting bills required funding, and shipped it via UPS to Laredo. While all this was in progress, the would-be smuggler apparently got second thoughts, because about 2 weeks later, I had a call from the part of the finance, asking what had happened to the printer. As the Laredo person said, it's still not been received. I replied, this was funny indeed, as I had a copy of the UPS delivery notice in front of me with a signature on it. When confronted with this lie, Laredo admitted that he had the printer, but refused to smuggle across the border. Finance then called the economist from Cornell, who was scheduled to drive down to Mexico City and spend 6 months managing the study. His itinerary was rerouted through Laredo, where he picked up the print and smuggled across the border. These folks were hard on printers. A few months later, the new wide carriage had broken, so I instructed the call to send it to me, and he did. I had another call about a month later asking me where the printers were. I kind of, there's another question, where is the payment for my consulting services? When I was told they still hadn't been funded, I suggested that he call back right after he cashed the check. That was the last I heard from him. I'm sitting in a corner of my office has been a narrow thermal printer and a wide carriage IDS paper tiger for 35 years. That all happened a long time ago, and much has happened since then. Mexico has become more democratic, but also in the judgment of some of the most dangerous country in the Western Hemisphere. The global economy has dramatically changed the rules and process of business, and the technology I refer to here is now considered part of the Dark Ages. Yet we can hopefully learn something from the scenario. Gather as much information as possible about a foreign country before agreeing to business there. The CIA World Factbook, available online, is a wonderful reference about the culture, demographics, and statistical information of any country in the world. Try to get all the relevant information about business practices in a country. It has been alleged that Walmart has bribed scores of Mexican officials to become the leading retail in the country. Such process may be the only way to do business in the country, but it's also illegal for the United States company to act in that fashion. Know exactly how and when you'll be paid. Attempt to get money up front in a retainer agreement. The fact that the client is the foreign government is no guarantee of timely payment or ethical behavior. We were naive and considered that dealing with Mexican government was tantamount to dealing with the U.S. government. We were wrong. Anyone want to buy a paper tiger?